אם ראו בדורות שהיו אחרי חכמי הגמרא בימי הגאונים ז"ל בישיבות של בבל, שהיה צורך שעה בימיהם להסיע על דברי תורה ולעשות גדר וסייג ויתקנו שיגרש האיש את אשתו בעל כוחו כשהיא אומרת לא באינלה לגברו, כדי שלא תתלה עצמה בגויים ותצאנה בנות ישראל לתרבות רעה. That he said that in order to support the idea that power to be mafkia kedushin, to annul or terminate kedushin, exists even to rabbinical authorities or community authorities. Yes, the Chitim at the Talmud, he gives an example, an enactment by the Gaonim to empower the women to institute a divorce action. That if a woman says that I no longer want to be married to this husband, then the court can twist his arm or break his knees or whatever the appropriate method is until he symbolically signs the get. But basically, it's the woman who's instituting the divorce action. And he gives his own explanation for why this happened. He says that this is because apparently the women's rights in the ambient community were more powerful than the women's rights in the Jewish law. And the Gaonim were afraid that if they didn't institute this action, there would be a political movement away from Judaism on the part of the women, because whatever community was surrounding, it's hard to believe that the Islamic community was more tolerant to women than in the Jewish community, but maybe there were some pockets of still Zoroastrian residue in the time of the Gaonim when this was happening.
The Catholics didn't believe in divorce. They had to
this was in Bavel. He's not referring to his own time in Spain. He's giving an explanation, whether it's historically correct or not. That may be something else. I'm sure that women, he doesn't attempt to institute this principle in Spain. Apparently women's rights in Spain were not very good.
What is he saying this?
The Rush, Rabbeinu Lashia. But he's in order to explain the fact that the Gaonim instituted as a temporary measure the fact that a woman could force her husband to give a divorce, which means that in fact a woman can institute a divorce action, he says that the reason of this was that the women would not tolerate an inferior position in society because the ambient society was giving them more rights. Now, what ambient society was giving them more rights? I have no way of checking whether the Russia's sociological analysis is correct, but what's important for us is the principle that he establishes. That if, in a given period of time, there's a drastic need to change women's rights, then the rabbinical authorities are empowered to do so with the power of Yesh Koach of Kol Demekadesh Adat HaRabbanan Mekadesh. So that even though a divorce like this made under coercion would not be valid, if the courts break somebody's knuckles until he agrees to a divorce, it would not be a valid divorce according to the law of the Talmud, according to the biblical law, according to rabbinical law. Nevertheless, he says that they had the authority to change the law in this respect because of Kol Demekadesh Adat HaRabbanan Mekadesh. Okay, the scheme of datam lafkia hakidushin kishitibod haisha al baala. Okay, so this was a very powerful position that the Rush takes. Goes far beyond the position of his contemporary, the Rashba, because let me remind you that all the Rashba grudgingly came around to the opinion that the communities could introduce some kind of an annulment of kedushin if they weren't done properly, but he bases this on the idea that the communities are doing this with the principle of hefker based in hefker, that they can seize a man's property retroactively in advance, what have you, and in such a way eliminate the kedushin. But the full power, the way the Rush says it, is something. But the Rashba himself, if you remember, was hesitant And we didn't know last week whether the Tshuva of the Rashba, where he says that Tzarich L'tyashev B'davar, was written before or after the Tshuva in which he says that this is a viable procedure. During this time, that is prior to the expulsion from Spain, we also can, well, let's go a little bit further before that. Let's go now to Daf Ayin Gimel. Okay. Here is, from the next generation, a response of Rabbi Yehuda ben Harash. Okay. So we're now in 1348. Beit Hadin Shebetudela Panu Bishnat Kufchet al Rabbi Yehuda ben Harash Betoletula, that's Toledo, Bidvar Ma'aseh Shaya Biachata Ayarot Shebem Chozan, in one of the small towns near Tudela, Moshe Gurash, Hifkit Pikadon Gadol Biyad David Alfan of Alfaranji, Vukishaba Moshe Lakachat Pikdono, Heishiv David Shelo Yachziro Ad Sheikaresh Bito Bilita Liyosek Pino. He wanted to get his deposit back, and the man said, "I'll only give it to you if you will marry your daughter to my son." Habat kvar haita mushudechet liyacher. Kedei lahatzil et pikdono miyad David, asa ha'av tachabula, shekideish bito liyachir, he married his daughter off to his brother, her uncle, kedei shelo yachula kidushin miyoto bachur Yosef, mishum eshetisha pashta yada v'kibli kidushin miyacher. In other words, he married her off to somebody else to avoid, so that even though they went through the ceremony of a fake marriage, nevertheless it was invalid. V'gam masra habat moda'a al unsa machnata pikadon, v'yachakach nukadsha liyosef. Also, the daughter made a written statement, and deposited with the court or with some other authority, that even though she is about to go through a divorce with Yosef, marriage, that this would this was only done under pressure, under duress. Ela she'edei ha'kdushin ayu psulin lachmat kurva, etc. Beit din shebetodela harula hatira bolo get. So this case caused a big scandal.
From whom? From Yosef?
Yeah.
But she was already married to...
Maybe that was a valid marriage, maybe it wasn't a valid marriage. It was a mess. However, Yehuda ben Harash hiskim afu lahatira mitam psul ha'edim u'mitzirat ha'moda al ha'ones v'gam mishum sheYosef ze asa shelo kohogen lahafrid bein mishudach l'mishudach tov v'lahasig v'ulam. וראוי לעשות לא שלא כהוגן ולבטל הקדושין. ודומה קצת להודי המערבה שהיגה בתלויה וקדיש דאין קדושה וקדושין, משום דייסה שלא כהוגן, הפקינו רבנן לקדושין מנה. So he says, הרי יהודה בן הרב שעשה בזה את הפקעת הקדושין סניף להתר. In other words, this wasn't the real application of the principle of annulment of the marriage, but rather it was just sort of an additional bonus, an additional argument to sustain a separate case. Okay? All right, now let's take a look at the Rivash. Let's turn to Daf Ayin Zayin. Okay? We will see that the Rivash basically follows in the principle of the Rashba, but is a little bit more forthcoming. All right? So this is on page Ayin Zayin, Tortoza. L'chacham Rabbi Avraham ben Alfuel. Sha'alta, ha'kahal hiskimu la'asot geder v'takana shelo yehi rushut b'yad shum adam l'kadesh shum isha ki im b'yidiyat ne'emanei ha'kahal u'bifneihem. That all marriages have to be made in the presence of and with the knowledge of the town trustees. U'bifnei asara. And every marriage has to be in front of 10. The im shema yavov yekadesh shelo keniskau yehi kidushav nifka'im. Ubetelim. Umeyatov yoto azman machkirin hakahal kesef or shava kesef shiyekadesh bo. Vishiyeh mufka'u muhutal v'akudushin yeh mufka'in v'yishat yeh hahi tuchal linasei mubli shum get v'afilu get misachek v'tistarech.
Okay,
Shinam Kedai, I don't know what that means. Kalakayemu lahaskim batakana. Oh, they are unfit to agree to this haskama. The minors who were present couldn't possibly agree to this piece of legislation.
Like
the Kedushin man.
So they've been taken and just redistributed?
Yep. Well, the idea here is, I don't know whether you want to call it a fiction, right, that they can confiscate the money as a part of this general clause in order to, they're operating with the idea of the Rashba. They're operating with the idea of the Rashba that the way in which Hafka'at Kedushin works is that the Beit Din, or the local civil, municipal authorities, confiscate the money of Kedushin. Therefore, when the guy is about to give the woman this ring worth $10, Hareyat Mekudeshet Li, because he's violating the rules of the community, that ring has been confiscated from him and it's not his. And therefore, the Kedushin has been annulled. That was the Rashba's opinion.
Therefore, the Kedushin is
annulled
first, then they take the money.
No, you're asking a good question. What happens to the money nobody cares about? One isn't concerned with the actual what happens with the money. The question is, how does the community nullify, annul a marriage term? Okay? And the Rashba's opinion is that the only way they can really do it is through this, if you want to call it a fiction, I don't know, through this idea of confiscating the Kesef Kedushin. Remember, the Rush didn't require that. I mean, the Rush simply says that the courts are empowered to annul a marriage because of this very broad principle of kaldem kadesh adata rabbanan kadesh. But the Rashba doesn't apply that. That broad principle, he simply applies this methodology of confiscating the kesef kedushin. And this community in Tortosa, apparently following the tshuva of the Rashba, were trying to enact that specifically into legislation. And now the question that came to the Rivash is, what right do the grown-ups in this community have to pass a piece of legislation which affects their minor children who didn't participate in this decision, say 10 years down the line, right? There's a 9-year-old present now, and now 10 years later he wants to get married in some other fashion. How can they do that without his consent? And more to the point, how can they pass legislation which affects a future generation? Right, they're sitting there in 1235 or 1340, whatever year it was, and then they want this legislation to last for 50 years. They've already disappeared from the scene, they've died, it's their grandchildren who are present. Do they have the power to do that? That's his question. Do they have that power? That's the simply. The Ravash will tell them, yes, they do have that power, but they were asking to the question that was put before him was, are they empowered to do that? Can you, here, sitting on the board of directors of the Young Israel of Brookline, pass a piece of legislation that's going to affect the marriage of all the members of the congregation?
I don't see why not. If they pass legislation,
it's not so simple. Who empowers them? How are they elected?
They don't make a big turn. They make it, and if they want to resell.
Who's they?
The Young Israel board.
Well, so you're saying that the Young Israel board can pass the rules about how...
They can pass it, they can rescind it.
Yeah, but how is that effective? How would you react if the Young Israel decided to impose a fine on you, take your car away, because you didn't come to the shul on time in the morning?
I can't see. That's why it's my question. I don't see how a person can be mafki or somebody's...
So you're objecting. You don't mind when they affect the marriage, but you object when
right.
It comes to money.
I can understand the power of a pharaoh. That's what the rabbis could do. They become the nidoig, and you can't...
But
you're with them, fine. That's social.
Right, but that's exactly the question that was put before the Rivash. Since this piece of legislation was done through the principle of confiscation of money, are they empowered to do that? And are they empowered to do that not only for their own time, but for the next generations? Okay, tshuva. The Rivash writes, Yecholin bnei ha'ir la'asot b'neihem takanot ugdarim v'haskamot. The municipal authorities, that is, he doesn't say municipal authorities, he says the members of the city have the right to establish municipal laws and agreements and fines and impose fines on people who actually violate their legislation. This is not coming from the empowerment of the state of Massachusetts. or from King Jaime, or whoever the local authority is, but this is in fact the power of the community. So if the community of the Young Israel of Brookline decides to fine those people who come late for shul Tuesday mornings, and this is generally agreed upon by the entire community, then they're empowered to do so. Mehadur Rasha'in, and the proof of this is Mehadur Rasha'in b'nei ha'ir la'atunot al ha'midot fal ha'sha'arim b'chol. This is, remember, the argument that the Shultei HaGibori made at the very first shiur on this subject. V'af ha'ktanim b'klal takanatam l'shiyigadlu. And even the children are obligated by this legislation when they grow up. Shem lo kein if you have to worry about small children growing up, they would have to and that's obviously ridiculous to say that they should have to renew it every day. And even the children who are born later. Someone moves in from out of town, he has to abide by the local rules. It's when someone moves into the town, it's as if he explicitly agrees to abide by the rules of the town. Kol she'ein datam lachzor. As long as they're coming to live here, they're not just here on a temporary visit. V'harehem k'vnei ha'ir v'chal takanoteihem. U'lefi zeh ala b'yadenu, she'hakahal yicholim lahatnot v'takanoteihem k'fi asher yireh b'neihem, ve'einan tzrichim klal l'dina d'malchuta v'luhumna d'malka, v'afilu b'chutz ala aretz. She'hadavar she'askimu olav b'nei ha'ir, harehu ki'ilu kiblu kol echad al atzmo v'nitchayevo. So he's now giving a theory of social contract, that this is because of the fact that he doesn't tell us how the townspeople come to an agreement, whether it's majority rule or unanimous or what have you.
Sorry, they accepted it.
But whatever procedure they had for abiding by a rule, it is then taken for granted that every member of the town, by virtue of his living in that town, has implicitly agreed to abide by the rules. So it's a social contract theory of legislation.
The rabbis themselves, isn't that a representative of the people?
Not necessarily.
A democratic choice?
First of all, in most of these communities, yeah, it wasn't the rabbis who ruled the city, but it was the elected townspeople, the elected officials, the Tovei Ha'ir.
Hakonos doesn't come from the Bezdin?
No, usually not. Usually comes from the Balabati.
Some kind of legislative body.
In these towns, they had the group of what they were called the Adelantes, the leaders of the town.
Aldermen.
The aldermen. Not Balabati. They were the president and the vice president. They had the Zayin Tuvei Ha'ir. It's an error to think that in all of these periods, the rabbis were actually the rulers of the congregations.
That they were. That's Bezdin.
They served as a Bezdin, and the Bezdin served as a court. But, you know, the municipal court in the city of Boston doesn't make the rules for the town of Boston. It enforces them, it adjudicates them, it says whether they're good or not. But in most towns, it's not the Bezdin that actually is ruling the community. The Bezdin, right? I mean, the courts in the state of Massachusetts don't pass the laws.
I mean, there was a separation of powers?
I don't know. I don't want to make it into a fancy constitutional business of saying that they carefully. But in fact, throughout history, the leaders of the community made the rules. I mean, does the rabbi of the Young Israel make the rules?
Is this a Rosh?
I would say yes. I mean, I don't know.
They had the Rosh and they had the Zakenu.
They had the Rosh
and they had the Zakenu.
What do you mean? Depends on what subject.
No,
he on the question of
what kind of sacrifices he doesn't make. The
rule. All right, so who makes that rule?
The Gabbai.
Okay. All right. So it's the same thing there. They had some, each community had its own method of electing its officials, or I shouldn't say electing, it wasn't always a purely democratic process. In many places it was, and in other places there was some sort of a oligarchy, but they had some technical way of choosing their leaders, and it was their leaders who made these rules. Or, in case they were drastic rules, they may have called a town meeting of all the members of the community, and they debated them and accepted them.
If these rules are based at all in halakha, you have to have people that are following the law. Can't have just every ordinary shul president.
But this isn't the ordinary shul president. These are the leaders of the community. You're quite right that because these rules are based on halakha, you have to have, if there's a rabbinical authority present, he should approve of them. But it doesn't necessarily mean that he's writing them all the time.
But they can't make, Bezdin cannot make a rule if the people are not going to work to do it.
That's also correct.
I can understand, like, for instance, to have a Sarah on a ship, but that isn't anything, logically, 10 people, so you could publicize the way, the sewing.
Yeah.
That probably wouldn't be, logically, that could be a choice from the general leadership.
But that's a very but after all, what are these people trying to do? They're trying to change the character of Jewish marriage law. Until now, you need two witnesses. Now they're requiring 10 people, and they want to go further and say that if they didn't have the 10 people there, even though the guy did it with two witnesses and harayat and everything else, that's invalid, right? So this is a change in the law, and they're doing this because of their supposed power of confiscation. Okay? So, naturally, this should be done with the approval of the rabbinical authorities, but all I'm saying is that, in fact, in real life, these steps were taken by the leaders of the community frequently, not necessarily by the rabbanim.
We talked about the Vada Arava Ratzos.
For example. They had...
Who were these people that were involved?
In the Vada Arava Ratzos?
Yeah.
The big merchants. The leading merchants of the time, the big businessmen. But on top of that, they had very great rabbis as consultants. And there were periods of time when the leading rabbis, like the Sma, Mirosei Naim, Rabbi Yehoshua Falk, and various other people, were in fact the presidents of the council. But the actual running of the things was most of the time by Balabat.
Parshat Tzavim says Rashi, then it says there's a Tzavim.
Mm-hmm.
So Rashi was not Bezdin.
Exactly. Okay, but at any rate, he says, "Va'od kevan shosuke mafnei shorau sheyesh gera v'takana b'davar havelei kahodaot v'al va'od u'shlichu tayu kavdiu v'gavena knasot sheshamu v'takanata u'mash amru kagon beidina doravami v'avasi dali milachki mamona or beidina achrina lo." That's to deal with, for example, to demand the return of a loan when after the Shemitah has cancelled it. Masha osin b'nei ha'ir b'iram l'inyan takanotehem harei hen kevei dino d'ravami v'avasi v'adifi minay. That the local municipal authority is more powered than the Supreme Court of the United States. And in fact, it's true in the United States as well. In terms of municipal legislation is concerned, the town council of Brookline has more power in terms of enacting the legislation than the Supreme Court of the United States.
Only in Cambridge.
That's very different. Va'od shekatav Rabbeinu Tam delav kebedin ravasi davka kamay lebedin rabba v'yatwe v'yiftach b'doro k'shmuel b'doro. V'chol beitin kavua b'yor yachol lafkir mamon v'kol sheken akahal shehefker beitin hefker.
He's principled Bezdin.
Yes, he says, but he says he's dealing with two questions, whether Bezdin can do it and or whether the community can do it. B'kol sheken hakahal. If the Bezdin can revoke, confiscate money, then certainly the community can. Shefker beitin hefker. Ba'od shafilu b'dinei nefashot beitin makin ve'onshin shalomet en ha'torah kedei lasot siyag l'torah mishum migdia milta kol sheken b'mamon hakah. V'achar shakahal yachol hafki ha'mamon. Since the community does have this power of confiscation, ha'over al takanata v'lahafkiro mi'ata im eskimu shemakadesh isha shelo b'idat ha'nemanim shelo b'fneim shiu ha'ma'ot ha'im gezel b'yado v'yada isha v'shi shehim azakin otam l'ploni kodim l'zinyatam l'isha mi'ata ha'rei kidusha v'inam kidushim The Havilei Kidsha Begezel Ubachamas, the Hefker Britain, Oh, Hakahal Hayavi Hefker. He's emphasizing over again the point of Mr. Weinstein that this is not necessarily an enactment of the court. Every time he says Beit Din, he says Oh Hakahal. Right?
How can that be considered Gezel? Gezel from whom?
No, what he's saying is that if I go to a woman and say Harayat Mekudeshet Li with somebody else's wristwatch, then that's invalid. That's what he's saying. So since the court has the right to confiscate his keset, it doesn't belong to him. That's the fiction. Okay? V'kol shekein ha'masu kein v'haskamat ha'chacham v'hazaken shebe'ir harav Rabbi Moshe ne'ruyot. Certainly if they've done this with the approval of the rabbi. V'ikatarti haskamat ha'ir uveidina da'alim. Here you have two ingredients, the decision of the community, a distinguished court. So you see, it wasn't the court that was making this decision, it was the community that was making the decision. We don't need this principle of kol d'makadesh dat haro. She'einanu tzuchim l'ta'am zeh el b'mishe kidesh kiddushin gemurim. That only applies in a case where there was a completely valid kiddushin. U'machmat eze inyan she'ira baget, and because of some problem that arose in the divorce, v'haya min hadin she'hayyeh haget pasul min ha'tara v'chachamim ra'u l'hachshiro shelo kedin. Even though there originally these were completely valid kedushin, now the chacham are going to annul it. Sharei kishkidesh al datam kidesh. That's talking about annulments because of problems in a divorce. And for that, you may need to come to this principle called the Makadesh Adat Ador Abanan Makadesh. Although, when you don't zeh, Shakahal Beferash of Kiyu Hamamon, Hare Kidsha Begezel, Ve'en Kidushav Kidushim, Af Im Lo Yakdish Al Da'atam. Even if he gets up and says explicitly that I'm doing this against the wishes of the congregation, they still have the power to confiscate his money. Vahainu the Berk has cut. All of these cases in the Gemara where they annulled the marriage at the very beginning, they don't use the phrase the kol mekadesh datei d'rabanan mekadesh. Sharei kevan shekidushin nasu shelo b'ratzon chachamim hefkiu otan. Shefkiru hamaot v'osim ota matana.
I don't understand that.
What?
Why don't you use that phrase? Sure.
He is saying that the phrase of kol demakadesh adatanim adrabanam ankadesh is an implied t'nai in the kedushin. And what if the guy gets up at the time of the wedding and says, I don't do it,
kol demakadesh? I don't accept it.
That's Moshe Yisrael.
I say kedash Moshe Yisrael, but not not Chazal. Kedash Moshe Yisrael, but not with Moshe Feinstein. He says explicitly, Kedas Moshe Yisrael, but not the board of directors of the Young Israel Synagogue. He says that explicitly.
And then the Young Israel makes it void.
Right. Okay, so you can't rely on his Tanai, because he explicitly doesn't rely on them. However, the Rivash says, you need that in the case where there was a complete marriage ceremony. What you're trying to do is to validate a divorce 15 years down the line, which normally would not have been legal. Then you need this. But in the case where you're trying to just simply cancel the Kedushin, the Young Israel of Brookline can say, I don't care what this man said at the time. Since we have the right to confiscate his money,
it's done.
It's done. Right, that's what he said. Okay. He himself admits that it can't be the complete explanation, because the Gemara says, what about if there was a Kiddushin B'Biyah, not Kiddushin B'Kesef?
It's done.
Right. So therefore, he himself admits that this theory, that the Hafka'at Kiddushin is based on Hafka'at Mamon, can't really hold water in all the cases. But the Kiddushin is valid. So the Gemara has no problem with that. The Gemara has no problem with that because the Gemara believes that Afkeinu Rabbanan L'Kiddushin Minei must come from some other source.
Besides Hefker.
Besides Hefker. Right. But the Rivash is not willing to go into that. He says, here's a good theory of how they can do this without any intent on the part of the Mekadesh. And yet he gets stuck when he tries to go to the next line in the Gemara. Because the Gemara didn't then, and the next line say, "Kol Mekadesh Adatei D'Rabbanan Mekadesh." They didn't introduce that phrase there. They just simply said, "Shavi Rabbanan Levilato Vilatznut." But how they could do that, the Gemara didn't say. So he's stuck, but he doesn't go into that. Okay. V'afal pisha Rashba Zal Kashuv B'Tshuva She'ein Lanu Lomar Afkinu Rabbanan Kedushim Mekiim B'Masha Matzanu Meforash B'Divrei Razal Avlo B'Chol Nisha Asa Shelo Kehogen. אלא שאין אומרים כן זולתי ויותן שמו חכמים זל בפירוש, ומטעם זה כתב שמקדש בפני עדים שהם צולים לעדות מרבן של צריך לגט, חלק על הרב אלפסי, זה אל שכתב בתשובה שאין לצריך לגט, אפילו אומר קדושין מיני. גם הרמב"ן כתב בתשובת שאלה, והמפקיעים קדושין בסולי עדות מרבן בר מינן, לטעות, ונענן עליהם וטעונן, ועל כאן, מכל מקום, ונידון זה אין אנו באים להפקיע הקידושין מטעם עשה שלו כהוגן ויפקינו רבנו קידושין מיני, אלא מפני שהקהל בפירוש כנסו אותו והפקירו המאות ההם ואיבדו זכותו מהם. והבי לי כקדשה בגזע. This is not a revocation of the Kedushin, but this is a confiscation of his money. ועוד שאפילו היינו צריכים בכל הפקעת קדושים לטעם בכל המקדש את דעת הרבנן המקדש, הנה יש לנו לומר גם כן כל המקדש על דעת הקהל ותקנת המקדש. Now he says, if you really insist on it, then okay, there's an implicit intent. כמו שמצינו שקדש סתם מקדש על דעת מן הגעיר. כי הוד ההלל היה דורש לשון הדיות באנשי אלכסנדריה, ובוודאי לאו כתובת אמהם של אלו הביאו לו. They didn't bring him the כתובות of each and every person. אם כן, מה דורש לשון היות כמר? אלא כתובות בנות המדינה הביאו לו. They just brought a sample of the כתובות. וכשראש הכתוב בהן הכשיר את אלו. ואפילו שאלו קדשום סתם לפי שמקדש סתם באותו מקום על סמך המנהג שנוהגים לקדש על תנאי זה כדי שלא תהיה מקודשת לו עד שתיכנס לקופה. ולביזה עלה בידינו שיכולין הקהל לעשות תקנה זו והמקדש כנגד תקנתם אין קידושיו קדושים ואינה צריכה גט. Okay? Very clear, and now he hedges. Up until now he's very forceful, now he hedges. זה מה שנראה לי בנידון זה להלכה. That's how I reveal this problem on theoretical plane. אבל למעשה הייתי חוכך להחמיר ולא הייתי סומך על דעתי זה לחומר העניין להוציא בלא גט אם לא בהסכמת כל חכמי הגמילות כי איך ידלמת ינשיבה מכשור. In order to be sure that I don't take all of the burden of this on my shoulders, I am not going to rely on my own judgment in this unless I get approval of all of the other rabbis. He was afraid of his right wing, what would happen from the bagats, from the badats, you know, from whatever that they. So he insisted that they have a signature from all the other rabbis. Okay? Okay. Notice that the Rivash wrote most of this without citing any of the previous literature on the subject. I'm sure he was well aware of the Tshuvas HaRashba, which he did not quote, where the Rashba himself was hesitant, lahachmir, but still, he undoubtedly was influenced by the Tshuva of the Rashba, but basically it's a repeat of the position of the Rashba.
Is the thrust of the question here to ask what the authority of the Kahal was?
Yes.
As opposed to that the rabbis could make a gezeira that would apply to each generation is not a problem to the Kahal.
Well, that's right. Exactly. Okay?
Is that usual with the clarity of this? Well, that's just the Rebbe's reading.
No. The Rivash is a very clear writer. He's a clear, classical, forceful
writer. He's not ambiguous. He's not ambiguous.
Right, he's not ambiguous. He's
very, very rational.
Very clear. Okay? Let's turn to page 80, where there's a debate just 22 years prior to the expulsion from Spain, also on this issue of the powers of the court. Okay? There's a dispute between Rabbi Shmuel ben Chalata ben Rabbi Yosef Chiyun Mechmech in Portugal al Sheila im Yecholim Beit Din Lafkia Kiddushin Machashin Nitnu Kishiru Beit Din Lasotan Kenkidin Shalotit Agen Haisha. This is a question of trying to use Hafka'at Kiddushin in order to protect women who might otherwise be condemned to permanent solitude because of some problem with the husband. Remember, during these times, the husband was killed or the husband was forcibly converted to Christianity, all kinds of problems. And we will see that the issue of trying to deal with the Hafka'at Kiddushin in order to resolve problems relating to Agunot sort of came to the fore again in the 20th century. In with the large number of husbands moving to the United States and leaving wives behind and all kinds of... Rabbi Shmuel ben Chalat hevi kama tamim lochiach sheyesh koach biyad beit din lafkia kiddushin ve'achat mirayotav hayta mitshuvat harash im yicholin beit din lasot takana shel kol kiddushin sheyu nitanim belo dat aviya ve'ima lo yichalim yashkef yakiu beit din otam mamon ulam harav yosef tachad haya zo rishov v'gam ani הודעו שיש כוח בידין לעשות את התקנה הכי קודם מתינת הקדושין, וכיוון שהוא על דעתם הקדש אין מהם קדושין ואין צורך ומגט. אמר, אמנם אחר שהקדושין ניתנו ברצונם, אין יכולת בהם שיפקיום בלא גט, וגם אין יכולת בהם לתקן זאת את התקנה, אלא בכיוצא בזה רצוני שיעשה המקדש דבר שלא כהוגן בעצם הקדושין, כמקדש הנערה בלא דעת אביה ואימא, שהוא דומה לתלויה בקדש. אבל אין יכולת בהם לתקן שמחלל שבת שקידש לא יהיה קדושת קדושין, אך בלי שעשה שלא כהוגן בחילולו את השבת, וכל שכן שאין יכולת בהם להפקיע הקדושין שניתנו כרצונם וכדת משה אחר כמה זמנים בלי גט כלל. So he's making two rather separate distinctions here. One is the issue, as we've mentioned several times, is this power stemming from the fact that they have the right to seize the money, in which case this can only apply at the very beginning, right? They can't retroactively annul a...
It happened 10 years ago.
That's right. So he makes this distinction. We saw that many of the Rishonim, and especially the Shultei HaGiborim, says that on the question of Kol HaMekadesh HaDater HaRabbanan HaMekadesh, the Chachamim have the power to do this even after many years of marriage. They can sustain a divorce, which would be otherwise illegal. But he disagrees with this. He says that this is not possible. And the second piece is somewhat interesting for us because it's a principle of constitutional law. They can't use their power over Kiddushin to penalize or enforce other types of religious misbehavior. In other words, they can't say that a man who's a Mechalel Shabbos can't marry. That is an unreasonable decision. I mean,
Because if the Rabbanan had the power to destroy, they could have a power to prevent too? Marriage?
They have the power, he's saying that the community can enact takanot with respect to marriage. You see, he's saying this without, it makes perfectly good sense what he's saying. He just doesn't make any argument for his case. What he's saying is that the community has the right to legislate and they're empowered to do so from the point of improving the specific problem that they want to deal with.
In the matter of marriage.
So if he acts improperly in marriage, they can annul the marriage. Or they can put standards on marriage. But they don't have the right to try to enforce the Sabbath laws by using the marriage as a weapon. That's what he's saying. They can't say that any person who doesn't keep Shabbos is not going to have a valid marriage in our community. It's certainly a very important principle of constitutional law, and it's a very reasonable principle. Okay, the Rabbanim can't use the Hechsherim to make people Shomer Shabbos, for example. So,
what happens to the ones that run around and kidnap somebody, the kidnappers? The kidnappers, they say, yes, they have the right to take away the marriage.
Because that has something to do with the marriage. Because that was a part and parcel of an improper action in the marriage itself.
Because you kidnapped.
Yeah, because it was something that had to do with the marriage. He took this woman, and that was an improper act on his part. They can cancel such marriages, but they don't have the power of what he says to... Okay.
That is on faith, but it is. That's what a person says. He's kosher, but he doesn't keep Shabbos. The Vati come along and say, you're not kosher unless you become Shomer Shabbos.
Well, I think that the Vaad has the right to say that unless you're a Shomer Shabbos, you're going to need a Mashgiach Tmidi, and they also have the right to say that you can't keep your business open on Shabbos, and I also have the right to say that anything that you do on Shabbos is not kosher. But they don't have the right to use, according to this principle, they don't have the right to say that if you smoke on Shabbos, you know, in your home, we're not going to give you a hech, right? So if you're not a Shomer Shabbos, you don't get a hechsher from us.
Yeah, usually imply that the store has, place has to be closed.
Right.
So if you ride on Shabbos, then you can't take away his hechsher from...
That's what he's saying. From his business. Okay. All right. Let's look at some... Let's move a little bit to North Africa and see some... unpleasant cases. Remember, this was the problem that we've mentioned over and over again. What happens, it's from the Mishnah in Kiddushin, but the Gemara in Kiddushin, what is the evidence of wedding gifts? The Mishnah says... in Mishnah and Kiddushin, that if the original wedding was something wrong with it, either she was a minor at the time or something, then even if the groom's family sends wedding presents after she had became adult, nevertheless that marriage is invalid. But the Gemara raises the problem of whether the wedding presents themselves are either a sign of a marriage, of there having been a prior Kiddushin, or whether they themselves are Kesef Kiddushin. And in Germany, certainly, we went through this case, the Maram Rutenberg, the fellow that sent a gift to his bride, and she did refuse to accept it, but her friend accepted it. And nevertheless, they were choshish that maybe this was a Kesef Kiddushin. So savlanut in general means wedding gifts, and the issue is whether the giving of wedding gifts is in and of itself either evidence or actual marriage. Okay. Let's read these three cases on this page. Ma'aseh bevagia. Pehe.
Oh.
Here are some three cases from North Africa to show you the problems with just drunken fathers. Ma'aseh b'jaya b'msubim b'su'uda v'natal achad kosi ayin milfanav v'natanol li'echad v'amar lo harei b'itach mekudeshet li b'kos zeh. Fortunately, the daughter was already over the age of 12, and therefore
he had no right to
marry her. Or here's another case. חברים היו מסובים בסודה, ויאמר אחד מהם ויאמר לחבר, ואמר אחד מהם ויאמר לחברו, תרצה לקדש לי ביתך בכוס זה של יין. אמר לו, הן, אמר ונטל כוס של יין, ונתנה לו, הרי ביתך מקודשת לי בכוס זה, וקיבלו האב מידו, ואתה טוען, אבי הבת ששיכור היה.
The
father claims that he was drunk. So that therefore this wasn't a valid... That's right. Oh, חברים שהיו מסובים בסעודה ביום שבת בסעודה חתן דמים ומולות, it was a bris mila, ויאמר ראובן ויאמר לשמעון תרצה שתהיה ביתך פלונית, שתיתן ביתך פלונית לבני פלוני, לאישה, אמר לו, הן, נתן ראובן כוס של יין מלא, ויאמר לשמעון, קח זה הכוס, ושתה אותו קידושין על ביתך פלונית לבני פלוני. לקח שמעון הכוס מיד ראובן ושתה אותו בשמחה, ויאמר חזן העיר וברך ברכת ארוסה. ויתה סוף שמונה שנים הלכה אישה נזכרת וקיבלה קידושין מאיש אחר בפני עדים כשרים. She was maybe 2 years old then, or 6 years old, now she's 14, right? וכששמע בן ראובן שקידש לאביו אישה נזכרת שהלכה והייתה לשחרר בו ועירה על קידושים, ואבי אבא טוען כי שקיבל קידושי ביתו היה שיכור. והעדים העידו שלא היה כל כך שיכור שהתבטלו מחמת אותו שקרות הקידושים. How drunk do you have to be? Like the test in those days to check exactly how drunk he was, whether he was beyond the point of repair.
The girl has to be at least 3 years old, no?
Boy?
The girl.
The girl? No.
Less than three?
No. I don't think there's any limit. The Bia is no Bia.
The girl Bia
is Kedushin. He doesn't live with
him.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
What's the answer?
They just, he doesn't give the answer here. It's in the Yeshiva of Yachin and Boaz.
What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean?
Yeah. Okay, so let's try to see what the communities try to do about that. Okay, he points out that in the Takanot of Algiers from 1394. Remember, what in 1391 there was a mass exodus from Spain. That was the time of the big pogroms. Against all the Jewish communities, and major communities were destroyed, and the Rivash, who was an old man at that time, left Spain for North Africa, for Algiers, and Rabbi Shimon ben Tzemach Duran, who was a medical man when he was still in